I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Clerk. The roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship.
Thank you. There is no addendum this evening. There are no announcements. Any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Madam Clerk, I have one with respect to bylaw 94-2017. I'm not currently involved in litigation with the owner of that business, but I may be, so I'm going to declare a conflict. In terms of public notices, there are two upcoming meetings, public meetings. One is with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment for 3601, 3605, 3607, and 3611 Hibbard Street, which is the Willow Trail townhouses. That's scheduled for Tuesday, September the 5th at 6 p.m., and the information report from staff will be available on the website on Wednesday, August 30th, 2017. There's another public meeting with respect to a zoning bylaw amendment for 397 Garrison Road and 0 Louisa Street, which is a new proposed subdivision, Peacebridge subdivision. Again, that's scheduled for Monday, September the 18th of 2017 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Council Chambers, and the report for that will be available on Wednesday, September 13th, 2017, on our website. There are no public meetings this evening, so that takes us to the Regional Councilor's report. Good evening, Councilor Nunziata.
Good evening, Your Worship, and it seems like it's been forever.
It's been a long time.
So wishing you the best end of summer and the rest of council as well. So not a lot of work being done at the council level. Staff is working quite diligently with a lot of projects at the region, as you know. The biggest highlight of this past week was the AMO conference, where both of us had opportunity to pitch on behalf of the town of Fort Erie and certainly the region with respect to economic gateway corridors and expansion of settlement areas. I will leave it up to council if they have any questions or specific concerns. I did have a couple traffic concerns that came across my email. I'd like to address them here in open session. One has to do with the Central Avenue overpass. I've touched base with Mr. Walsh with respect to that as an MTO issue. There is a concern that it is not the most pedestrian-friendly during the construction period. So we do have some calls in to see what the construction company can do to make it more pedestrian-friendly. We understand that we have a very mobile workforce here that utilizes pedestrian pathways to get to and from work. So we're going to see what we can do to increase the pedestrian value there. I did have another concern with the traffic lights, and Mr. Walsh did express that this council actually expressed concern 30 days ago that the new intersection at Municipal Drive and Highway 3 be operational to possibly create some better habits at that intersection where no intersection has ever been before. So we are working diligently to get those traffic signals going to create those traffic signals and better inure the environment for motorists coming through that busy intersection now. So we're working on those two issues. Those are the only two concerns that came across my desk with respect to regional impact. So I'll leave it up to council if they have any questions or concerns that they've heard from their constituents with respect to a regional issue.
Thank you. With respect to the traffic lighting and the crossway walkings out here at Municipal Drive and the new high school, that has been a topic of some discussion between our staff and the regional staff. I've sent some emails to Mr. Tripp and appreciate anything that you can do, because in my view, those lights should have been operative some time ago to give the traveling public an understanding that there will be lights there. They could have had even a test run on the flashing lights that they've erected at either end. We're talking about the safety of children, and but anything that you can do is appreciated. Are there any members of council who have any questions? Councillor Passero and then Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Regional Councillor Nunziata. At our last council meeting, which does seem ages ago, there was much discussion over the region's review of their development charge policies and program changes, and we had passed a resolution that night looking for the status quo to remain. And I just wanted to thank you for ensuring that that got into the hands of regional councillors prior to the meeting. I know it was a tight deadline. And I'm wondering if you were successful in lobbying your colleagues to support Fort Erie's position on the matter.
So it's a great question. And we did do some lobbying behind the scenes, certainly. But ultimately, the vote failed with respect to turning down that rendition of the DC bylaw. What I did manage to do, and you can take this for what it's worth with respect to a consolation prize, but at some point you have to recognize that you are about to lose the vote. So we did make an amendment to it, and I thank His Worship for supporting my amendment, which was to include archaeological opportunities. So as you know, we do have some impact with respect to archaeological overlay throughout the town of Fort Erie. And when you're an investor looking for that predictability and cost, the minute that you hear there may be archaeological significance, the price tag seems to kind of escalate in your head. And most often, people walk away from that opportunity. So we did include archaeological under brownfield. So now those costs associated with archaeological can now be covered through development charge rebate. So that is the one amendment that I put forward on behalf of the town of Fort Erie, and certainly there are some other municipalities throughout the region that have suffered with respect to archaeological overlay. With respect to the overall DC bylaw, it did pass. I think it passed 13-10, by a vote of 13-10, and it went into effect, as far as I know, August 1st.
Okay. And you voted to support Fort Erie's position when the final bylaw was on the table?
No, I voted to support the DC bylaw with the amendment that I managed to get through with the support of my colleagues.
Secondly, I'm disappointed in that, but it is what it is. I'm hoping you can take this back to staff, the intersection at the Sobeys on Garrison Road. Region is responsible for light changes and pedestrian crossings. It was brought to our attention as council, and I don't know how it's come this long before somebody has raised the issue, but there is pedestrian crossing buttons on the north side of Garrison Road to go across, but there are no pedestrian crossing buttons on the south side by Uncle Sam's Delta to go the opposite direction. So given that we have the seniors' residence there at 373 and some other people from the communities in behind who like to walk to the Sobeys, what usually ends up happening is they get frustrated, impatient. There's nothing there to trigger it. Obviously, there's not a lot of traffic flow if bingo's not coming and going, and they usually end up taking a chance and getting caught on that median. So I'm hoping we can look at why maybe those poles on the south side pre-existed the Sobeys development and was just never put into effect, but I'd appreciate if you could look into that for safety's sake. Thank you.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Nunziata, I received a call this week from one of my constituents that lives on Burger Road, and in speaking with a few other constituents on Burger Road, they've brought to my attention that there is several cars that are exceeding the speed limit there. It's a 50 zone. Zoned road, I believe, and they're traveling what would appear to be in excess of 80 to 100 kilometers. So I'm wondering if you can again bring this to Bob Gale's attention. Also, I've driven down Point Avenue Road several times, and I've seen no sign of the Niagara Regional Police, and we were promised stepped-up enforcement on that road. I've driven in the morning, in the evening, during the middle of the day, several different times, several different days, and I'm just not seeing any enforcement whatsoever on that road. We were promised, and you'll notice that in our minutes tonight for the TTC committee, they are recommending stepped up enforcement on that road after the most recent traffic study was done. And I think it's important to Niagara Regional Police start supporting our community with our requests here. And they did a good job on the regional road in from Netherby towards Main Street, but we have some tertiary roads that are used quite often that we need the enforcement there as well. If you wouldn't mind passing that along. Several of my constituents have also raised a question about when there will be an official stoplight put in at Netherby and Sodom. The queues are getting quite long during the day, and traffic is queuing up there significantly. And the fact that there are two slight bends to that road, people are concerned that if somebody's not paying attention, they're going to rear end somebody as the lines are getting longer and longer. Not just with the zoo, it's just not zoo's traffic, because it's on the weekends with the beach traffic. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're queuing up almost past the church and the cemetery down there. So again, if you wouldn't mind bringing that to Mr. Tripp's attention, and if we could get some communication on when that intersection is to be further developed, that would be very helpful.
Okay, so I will bring both those concerns forward. Ultimately, certainly increased law presence does have a traffic calming effect, especially with September rolling around the corner and children going back to school. So I'll be more than happy to bring that forward with my colleagues at NRP and with respect to the intersection at Netherby. I know that's been on the radar probably for about 5 or 6 years now with respect to when will the four-way stop be upgraded to a lighting system. I know that there's a lot of partners involved in that, and I think MTO would be one of them. I don't know exactly what the metrics are to support a traffic light, but I will be more than happy to bring that forward to Public Works and see what where we are with respect to that initiative as well. So I will bring those forward, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you very much.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. Appreciate it. That takes us then to presentations and delegations, and the first presentation is by John Hill, Chairperson Canada 150 Celebrations. Good evening.
Opportunity this evening. This is obviously the first opportunity that I, as Chairperson, after the spectacular event in Ridgeway, to speak with all of Council and thank them for their support for our Canada 150. So on behalf of our volunteers, certainly the Canada 150 committee, what we would like to do as a committee is present to you, Mayor Redekop, a commemorative poster in memory of our Canada 150 celebrations in the historic village of Ridgeway on behalf of not only the committee, but also on behalf of the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 230, who are also hosting that event as well.
Thank you very much. I'll come right down and receive it.
We had hoped that it would be displayed prominently in the point.
I'm sure.
Thank you.
The second presentation is Carl Dockstader, with respect to a project that he was involved in with the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Presentation queued up here?
Yeah.
So, I've come tonight to present the Friend Project report. I hope that everybody has a copy of the report in their packages.
I believe we do.
Okay, great. So this report is a product of the work of the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center, which has been a long-standing community asset and a part of the Fort Erie community for several decades. We're located just down the road on 796 Buffalo Road. I would encourage anybody who hasn't been to the Native Center to please come by and to get some information, collect some information about our programs and offerings hear about some upcoming events we have. But tonight, I've actually come to talk about a little bit more of a difficult subject. I'm here to talk about racism tonight. And as council may or may not know, I actually requested this meeting before the events in Charlottesville, before a lot of the things that have been capturing the attention in the United States of America, before the conversation about the John A. McDonald schools and the teachers and all the things that are in the news right now. But I actually think that this kind of dialogue that's in the media right now is very healthy. And I think that really we're past the point in time where we can just continue to carry on without implementing some kind of a concerted effort when it comes to race. So one of the reasons why I've arrived at this point, though, is because of the report that I'd like to present to council tonight. So the question it all sort of started with the question of what role does race play in Fort Erie? And when the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center was conducting its strategic planning a couple of years ago, it actually polled its membership, and it reached far and wide. It did outreach at the barbecues, at the socials, all the different events that were there, and it put surveys in the hands of people. And it actually asked its members if they had experienced any form of racism. And what the survey found was that the majority of people that were polled had experienced in some way, shape, or form racism right here in Fort Erie. And whether it was from a prospective employer or from a prospective landlord or just the looks that our people get when we pull out our status cards at Walmart, there were people that identified that as a strategic priority for the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center. So the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center wanted to answer its membership and came forth with the idea to look at the Friend Project. The Friend Project was designed to fight racism. But here's the thing. It's a sensitive topic, right? And the Fort Erie Native Friendship Center realized that if we went and just started finger pointing and started off with privilege and racism and all these really dark, sort of complicated issues and took any kind of an aggressive or militant approach that it may not work, right? So there really was a careful, concerted effort to conduct a study and to find a way to really whet the appetite of the general public for this. So that's where the report came from. As part of the report, we worked in partnership with the YMCA right here and with the Fort Erie Public Library to circulate surveys. We also used social media to circulate a couple hundred surveys, and we got results from various groups, including Indigenous people, various members of racialized groups, and people that self-identified as being members or as being white people. What jumped out at me when I was doing the statistical analysis right off the hop was that the majority of white people hadn't had any personal experience with racial discrimination. They hadn't encountered anything. They hadn't seen much. You know, maybe some of them had seen an incident, but generally it didn't affect them. 85 people saw nothing, right? So, but then when you look at the Indigenous people, almost all of them had some sort of experience with racial discrimination. And then when you look at the racialized people that answered the survey, the same results. Almost all of them had some sort of experience. So we started to see that there were some things that were happening. We asked people in the survey about all kinds of things. There were a number of questions, and I would encourage everyone to go through their reports at your earliest opportunity and really to take a look at some of these numbers. But I'm going to walk through. There were sort of a couple things that all of the data and the surveys revealed. So when you look at a lot of the areas of whether people themselves were comfortable marrying Indigenous people, having relationships with Indigenous people, living next to Indigenous people, the general public was okay with all of those things. The majority of respondents were white people and people that identified as white people, and they were fine with living next to Indigenous people. But then when they started to look outwards, and when we started to ask questions like, should helping a historically less privileged group, if that conflicts with business interests, should the business still go ahead and try to do that? And believe it or not, the majority of people by a slim margin actually agreed that little bit of extra effort that might be needed, even if it compromised the best interests of the business, that's something that Fort Erians, the vast majority of people that answered were Fort Erians, that's something that they believe to be true. So it's definitely encouraging results that Fort Erians are accepting of Indigenous people. They realize that there needed to be some change, and that they were willing to look at that. But then we asked them a series of questions along the lines of how comfortable do you think local employers are with hiring Indigenous people? And that's where the numbers started to skew a little bit. And what you'll see is about half the respondents said that they think that local employers aren't really there yet. And that while they themselves are accepting, they're not necessarily seeing that reflected in the institutions. It's not in my PowerPoint tonight, but it is in your report that when we ask the question about, do you think that local museums and libraries and schools and businesses are doing a good job, again, reflecting the rich culture of Indigenous people that we have here in Niagara, that again, the respondents just didn't feel that we were measuring up. Most of the respondents didn't think that we were quite there. So, again, though, to sort of look at a positive note, we asked if the respondents thought that Canada was on Indigenous territory, and 90% of the respondents did think that Canada was on Indigenous territory. I think that it's important to realize that Fort Erians see Indigenous culture as a part of their heritage and as a part of their history. So what these numbers sort of revealed is that when you read the report, you'll see that a story is being told by the numbers. And the story that's told by the numbers is that people see the racism, but they don't see themselves as being complicit in the racism. So we live in a racist world without racist people, right? But that's not actually possible, right? So there's a little bit more, and I have a couple suggestions on some things we could do moving forward, but I want to talk about some other parts of the report. After we conducted the surveys, we also went and we wanted to change the narrative when it comes to Indigenous people. One of the things that we think gets played out a little bit in the media is this negative stereotype of the so-called drunken Indian or the so-called unemployed Indian or the so-called welfare Indian and all the other stereotypes that are out there. And I have to say, as a proud Fort Erian and as a FEST graduate, that's just not the Indigenous people that I see, right? That's not this town. Those aren't the Indigenous people in this town. So one of the greatest professional things that I've ever been able to do is to go and to highlight the people that again are detailed a little more in your report. We created podcasts. I got to sit down with some of the elders that are up there and really dig deep and to share those stories. And again, that's where the library came in, that community hub came in, and the YMCA came in, another community hub. They agreed to share these displays for the 4 month duration of the project and to try and reframe that narrative. We actually just at the community picnic this past Saturday, Joe Shaw and I, who's up in the picture up there, we were actually able to give him an award from the Friendship Center to encourage him as he heads off to Georgian College to study the Anishinaabe language and to further the ways of our people in education. So I had a great deal of pleasure doing this report and drawing off of this knowledge and moving everything forward. This is a picture of our display in the library again. And actually that's the best part, that I absolutely loved. I would encourage everyone to go and to spend as much time at the library as possible if they're not already doing it. Because when I went there, Amy Roebuck, the librarian, came out and she picked the books. She actually brought the books out. I just brought the display and she said, you're going to bring displays of these notable Indigenous people. I'm going to bring out all the Indigenous authors that we've been highlighting in the library. So the capacity is there, right? The appetite is there. I mean, Fort Erie is I think for more of these types of partnerships and more of this kind of stuff moving forward. I truly, truly believe that. So we, as I mentioned, it was a 4 month long project. We had the positive awareness campaign. We did the survey analysis and we analyzed the survey results and we put together this report. There were some key observations again that the data really drew out. It's that people don't see themselves as racist. But they see that racism exists here in our community. They said that outside institutions and organizations need to do more work and that there needs to be more education about privilege, discrimination, and racism, and that we need to do that on a community level. There was a lot of talk when I talked to people personally and when I looked at the qualitative data that it sort of needs to be bottom up, right? Like a lot of this needs to be done by things like me coming to town council and giving presentations, and I need to get in touch with more employers, and I need to reach out more to all of the institutions and libraries. But also, these conversations need to find their way around the kitchen table, right? They need to find their way into the community halls. They need to find their way into people's personal conversations. So it's the strong recommendation of this project that we find a way as a community to continue with the positive messaging. It really felt like there was a lot of well-received results from the positive messages that we were putting out. We need to open up more community events around these types of difficult conversations, and we need to have an understanding, which leads to the last point that we have to examine privilege more closely. What is privilege? How does privilege affect people? How much privilege is in this room? How much privilege is outside of this room? How much privilege is in the entire town of Niagara? So I kind of wanted to end tonight's presentation on a little bit of a cultural note. And when I was looking for a bit of a cultural framework to apply to the presentation, I didn't have to look any further than the Two Row Wampum, and I thought a lot about Canada celebrating its 150th birthday and the recent celebrations of the War of 1812, and I thought a lot about the role of Indigenous people in the formation of Canada and the quality of life that people have. And I truly believe that a lot of the pleasures that we enjoy are because of the great, rich environment that we have, the rich cultural heritage that we have, the shared history, and all of the strengths. And I really trace that back to the original agreement, the Gaswenta, or the Two Row Wampum, which shows that our people are represented by a canoe and the settlers are represented by a ship. And those vessels were meant to travel side by side. And there was supposed to be a covenant of friendship that extended between the two of them. But I think that what's happened right now is that I think that our vessel needs a little bit of help. I think that the Canadian vessel is doing really good. And that's not to discount. I understand there's poverty in this community and there are issues in this community and there are people that, that need help and relief. But I think that overall it's been generally acknowledged that the Canadians experience some of the best quality of life in the world. And unfortunately, our people are overrepresented in a lot of negative categories. So when I was thinking of a framework for an agreement moving forward, I just look back to our elders and I look back at that two-row wampum and realize that vessel that's moving along so fast needs to find a way to help that other vessel and needs to find a way to aid and support. And whether it's letting me come and give a delegation to council or whether it's coming over to the Friendship Center, and I'd like to invite everybody to come to our social on September 22nd, that's Friday, September 22nd at 6 p.m. I would encourage all of you to come out and to do a little bit of dancing and to enjoy our potluck. Or whether it's an examination of privilege. I think that journey needs to move on and it needs to move forward. And we need to look at the values of respect, peace, and friendship and continue to work together moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dockstader. Is the event on the 22nd at the Friendship Center?
Yes, 796 Buffalo Road.
Okay. Are there any members of council that have any questions? But certainly it's a very interesting project that you've been involved in, and something that we very much appreciate as being part of the community, the broader community. Councillor Fasiro.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you, Carl, for being here tonight. Very impressive, eye-opening, and informative document that you presented us tonight and presented on this evening. How and where will it be distributed? What are your plans to now get the final product out into the community?
This document is available for anybody and everybody in the general public to download at www.fenfc.org/friend. So we try to make it nice and simple, just fenfc.org/friend. I'm presenting to this council, I personally presented a copy of the report to Wayne Gates. I went and visited Mayor Jim Diodati and personally presented him with a report. I actually presented a report to Alan Caslin and asked if I could make a delegation to regional council. I've yet to hear back. All the other politicians that I approached were very rapid, turned around a response and invited a response quickly. So I'm hoping that there's an avenue that I can use to really talk to our political bodies about how to raise awareness. In addition, we've been spreading our positive messages through social media and at various Friendship Center events.
Excellent. It was great to see you at the picnic on the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
And I will do my best to get some of my colleagues, specifically Councillor McDermott, out on the 22nd. Two of his favorite things are potlucks and dancing.
So oh, great.
I think I can get him there. Thank you for your time tonight and your hard work on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. That was a great presentation, Carl. It was very high energy and very informative, so thank you very much. And you mentioned that you were going to continue the process of getting involved with the political spectrum, and I wondered if it might be of interest to you if we were to organize a business luncheon so that you could speak to the business community of Fort Erie as well.
I would be absolutely delighted for that opportunity.
I will organize that for you.
Okay, great.
And be in touch with you. And also just one further question I just wanted to ask you. What was your community opinion about having the DSBN have the first Native public school named after John Brandt in Ridgeway?
I think that's something that every community member that I've talked to has been elated. And actually, that was something that, again, was voted on, from what I understand. So it was non-Indigenous people finding a way to support Indigenous progress right here in Fort Erie.
I was part of that committee to push that name forward, and it was really an honor to find out that DSBN actually accepted that name and embraced it and pushed it forward as well. So it was really good that the education system recognized that it was about time and needed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Any other questions by members of council? Thank you very much for your presentation. We look forward to the follow-up on this and the implications that it will have for our community.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Welcome. Mr. Cook, I take it that the audio-visual system isn't quite up to speed yet, so the monitors aren't working for the time being?
That is correct, and just a little update on that. We are having difficulty with the contractor and getting the work completed. I had suggested or noted that we would be done today. It's not. We're weeks away, probably 4 weeks away minimum. We're trying to work through this with the consultant.
Thank you. Thank you for the update as well. The next delegate is Barbara Vanderheiden from Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Niagara. I recognize what you've brought. I've seen it before.
I invite Board Member Stephen Pissarro to join me at the podium, please. Good evening, Your Worship, councillors, staff, and community members. Though a little late, I have the pleasure of attending this evening to return the South Niagara's Bowl for Kids' Sake Mayor's Challenge Trophy to the town of Fort Erie, as you were again the top team in pledges, making it 4 years in a row. This year's total from your group was an amazing $1,930, and we thank you very much. That was an incredible amount. A study completed by the Boston Consulting Group states that every dollar invested in Big Brothers Big Sisters mentoring programs generates a minimum of $1,800 in social return on investment. According to their study, when it comes to hard dollar returns, few investments equal a donation to Big Brothers Big Sisters. The study also found that over their working lives, the former Littles will earn, on average, $315,000 more than those in the control group. In 2016, Big Brothers Big Sisters of South Niagara provided programs to over 600 children within our service area, which includes all the Fort Erie communities. Through community and site-based one-to-one matches, site-based group, and after-school programming, and we are starting fall programs with a current wait list of about 150 children, which is due to a lack of funding as well as a lack of volunteers. Every $1,000 raised through our annual Bowl for Kids' Sake campaign provides financial support to one traditional match for a year. So with your donation or pledge from the Mayor's Challenge, you have supported 2 matches, which you should be very proud of and which we are truly thankful. Unlocking a child's true potential through mentoring creates a future where anything is possible. Mayor Wayne and Council, on behalf of our Bigs, Littles, board members, and staff, I thank you for your continued support. Let's see if the 2018 campaign has the Mayor's Trophy returning to Fort Erie again, making it 5 years in a row. And rumor has it this coming year, 2018, may be a sock hop theme. So you can start looking for your boots and your white shirts and beautiful cigarette patches to wrap it up. Mayor Wayne, I ask you to come down as we present the trophy to you.
I just want to personally thank my colleagues for being very supportive of this event. And although it's entitled the Mayor's Cup, I think we may have to get a little bit of engraving done and put "and staff," because staff really came through as well. Mr. Brady and his team were phenomenal in their pledge raising as well, and they actually surpassed our council figures by a little bit. So a true team effort. Thank you very much for your support. And thank you to Larry Carroll for his support as well and not making us pay for any damage that was probably caused on lane 3 that day. Great pledge raisers, horrible bowlers, but a fun time. And thank you, Barb, for all your hard work.
More than a campaign.
My pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of your summer. What's left?
Thank you, Barbara. And we can't wait for the sock hop. That should be fun. Okay, our final delegation is Sharon Miller, with respect to the bus routes. Good evening.
Evening, Lord Mayor and Council members. After all that positivity, I'm here to complain.
Well, you know what? You're going to make some constructive comments that may be of assistance to us as we go forward.
Yeah,
so
thank
that's
you.
That's how we're looking at it.
Yeah. My name is Sharon Miller, and my husband Mark and I live at 228 Lakewood Avenue in Crystal Beach. We're all strongly opposed to the Fort Erie transit route change from Schooley Road to Lakewood Avenue. We understand that Schooley Road is under extensive road repair, and for obvious reasons, the transit route must be diverted, but we strongly feel that Lakewood Avenue is an unclear and unsafe choice. We would have expressed our concerns about the safety and validity of this proposed route change earlier, but we had no idea of the specific changes until just a few weeks ago. which I heard of through word of mouth. At that time, I personally knocked on every door on Lakewood Avenue, Westwood, and Rosewood Avenues, and not one household was aware of the specific route changes, and every person that I spoke with expressed the same concerns and sentiments as I've detailed below. Many of us knew that there were going to be transit system route changes through the local newspaper, but to the best of my knowledge, there was nothing specifying the route change from Schooley Road to Lakewood Ave, except the Town of Fort Erie website. Is it not considered good practice to engage citizens in public meetings and through direct contact, such as an open house, particularly when some changes will impact them directly? We could find no evidence in the report written by the Transit Consulting Network from Keswick in September 2016 to support the West route change to Lakewood Avenue. The route change presents severe safety and accessibility concerns for us. Number one, there are visibility challenges and congestion issues at the corner of Lakewood and Erie Roads. There's an S-bend on Erie Road to the west and congestive street parking issues to the east on Erie and at the south end of Lakewood. This is because many of the cottages at the south end of Lakewood do not have adequate parking for their needs and the needs of their renters and visitors, which is greatly impacting the density of street parking. There have been numerous traffic accidents and near accidents at that intersection. I asked the NRP to provide me with the statistics, but was told that it would take 4 to 6 weeks to get that information, and it was too late to obtain it prior to this meeting. I'd like to know, has any of the town staff requested an accident report from the Niagara Regional Police? Lakewood Avenue is 18 feet wide. That's 9 feet per lane. The ditches on Lakewood are in some spots as much as 3 feet deep, and there are no shoulders on the road except for a little bit of gravel and some grass. It's hard to believe that 9 feet of roadway is adequate room for a bus, parked cars, and bicyclists to maneuver safely. There are also no sidewalks at the north end of Lakewood Avenue or on Revstock from Schooley Road to Lakewood, further presenting safety and accessibility concerns. In closing, metrics and walkability scores aside, Lakewood is not a safe route, in our opinion, for the proposed bus route, and we hope that you seriously consider this before making the proposed changes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Miller. And we have an inquiries section of the agenda where we can raise some of the questions that you've raised with our staff and have some others as well.
Okay.
Are there any members of council that have any questions of Mrs. Miller? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I don't have any questions other than a comment, and wanted to thank you for your presentation. It was very well done. It's interesting to me that the notifications of the bus route aren't made more available and accessible, and I know that that's a problem that we've discussed in the committee, and that it has to be more robust. So just to assure you that that is going to be worked on, and I'll make it a point to ensure that that does get done. So I apologize that that has occurred on behalf of the Transit Committee.
Any other councillors? Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
That then takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, Councillor Butler, you have the resolution regarding that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council approves the consent agenda's items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments? Madam Clerk, I had a... I think I noticed an error in the minutes of the August 21st meeting. I meant to bring this up with you before. It's on page 13. Yes. Body of 8.3 on page 13, about the fifth or sixth line from the bottom, there's a reference to the matter that Councillor Butler was referring to at the Connolly Park. That's the Kinsmen, not the Lions. Next line up from the bottom of 8.3.
So noted.
Thank you. And noted something with the Traffic Coordinating Committee minutes. On page 3, there was a reference to item 3.4. Mr. Walter, was a reference to Elm Street. It's falling under the Crystal Beach traffic and parking study, but that's in Ridgeway. don't think it's going to be caught by that particular study.
I'll look into that a little further,
okay,
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. There may need to be something further done by staff on that. If there are no other questions or comments, I'll call the question with respect to approval of these items. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That takes us then to new business and inquiries. Other matters, sorry. Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. I'm not really in that much of a hurry, but I know Mrs. Miller would like us to get to inquiries. We have a resolution under other matters. Zero. No. I don't have it in my... Yeah. So it's in the consent agenda. Perfect. We've already passed it. Okay. So that does take us to new business inquiries. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. I read the notes from a working group that had been established that had been focused on Waverly Beach, and I'm happy that that conversation is kind of being elevated because it is a very important park within our network. Councillor Nutt and I, well, at AMO, and Councillor Nutt took the lead, but we had some very good conversations with the Minister of Natural Resources. So we'd like to do some things to kind of set the stage for further conversations, and I'd be very interested in forming an ad hoc committee focused on Waverly Beach and some other shoreline issues regarding algae and development matters. And I'm wondering if we could put forward a motion that we could have staff bring back some type of memo or terms of reference and maybe a proposed composition as far as number of individuals and representatives that could represent various agencies or stakeholders. But I think it's time to kind of take this to the next level, especially if we're going to be advocating and allocating staff time. I noticed that within the working group meeting, there was a significant number of staff there, and I'd like that to go on, but I want to make sure that it's something that's done formally, that minutes come to council for formal adoption, and we can actually utilize those for future resolutions as we lobby the ministry for some matters that we may need in the future. What would be the best way to go about that, Your Worship?
I'm going to suggest that you've just given notice of motion to bring that forward at the September the 12th regular council meeting. In the meantime, Mr. Brady can perhaps provide some background. There may be some other activity that would make a committee particularly appropriate. So why don't we treat that as notice of motion to seek support from staff for the creation of an ad hoc committee relative to...
Okay, I will sit tight for a couple more moments so we get to notice of motion.
If I could, Mayor, this committee is not a staff-driven committee
right.
at all. We were there simply to provide answer questions. This committee has been driven completely by councillors. So I'm not sure until I hear from the council what they want us to do. Like, staff has no opinion on this committee at the present
right.
time.
So that will be fleshed out and then get to notices of motion, councillor.
Fair enough. I'll have to wait for that direction.
Fair enough. You still have the floor, Councillor Passero.
That's all. Thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Walsh, today I was traveling southbound on Ott Road as I passed over the train tracks heading towards Garrison. And when I approached the address of 2280, there was a construction sign. I know I brought this up in the past, and I know you said it's going to be dealt with in November, but really the vegetation is seriously growing out into the roadway here. There are no sidewalks, so people that are walking down there have to move more towards the center. And if you get two cars approaching it, it's quite dangerous. I could say unequivocally without a doubt that at least 90% of the sign that was indicating that there was construction up ahead was covered by the vegetation. And it does present some significant. If there is a major works to be done with the ditches and brushing, as you stated, there will be later this year. Is there something we can do in the meantime as a quick fix to just kind of go down and cut it back? With all the rain, it seems to be a lot worse than it was last year.
Mr. Walsh.
Certainly, I'll agree with you that the rain and the season we've had this year has let the vegetation grow exponentially. I'll speak with Mr. Campbell tomorrow morning and see if we can get the vegetation cut back a little sooner.
Thank you. I did receive a phone call from a resident today who did express that although I did provide him with the schedule and state that it was scheduled to occur in November, he just asked, is there any way it could be moved up? So if we could just revisit it and you could touch base with me, that'd be fantastic.
Anything further?
Nothing further.
Any other councillors? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a couple of questions for different individuals, but my first question goes to Mr. Walsh with respect to the communication that's lacking with respect to the transit. As you know, during the committee members have directed staff to make it a priority to communicate the changes to transit usage and directions or transit routes, and as we heard this evening, not everybody received that communication. And I'm just wondering if you could tell us where that communication is.
Mr. Walsh.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Primarily communication right now is through our social media and the web page. The transit surveys were published or the requests to undertake or participate in them were published on the web, in the newspaper, on the buses, on key bus stop locations. That's where we stand right now. As for future plans, I'm not cognizant of them right now. I wasn't at the last Transit Advisory Committee meeting, so I'm not sure what the status is.
Mr. Butler?
Thank you, Your Worship. So just to ask this question, we will make it a priority then to be more fulsome with the communication for residents. I think it might not be a bad idea to have communication pamphlets available at the sites where they purchase passes. That might be helpful as well.
Mr. Walsh?
Noted. We can do that.
Thank you.
Just a comment. I think I speak for all staff here is that we're always looking to improve our communications with our ratepayers and user groups. So any advice is certainly appreciated.
Thank you.
Before you go on, Mr. Cook, it has a.
Thank you. You saw my hand. Just on that, on the communications for transit, we've been working with our communications coordinator and Ms. Stout and put together a communications plan, and I'd be happy to share that with you. So I'll circulate that to all council.
That'd be helpful.
Thank you. And Your Worship, I have a question for Mr. Ludzik, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
With respect to bylaw number 119-03 for the open parks and amplified music that we were discussing last week, and we've had some emails back and forth, I wonder if you could clarify for us this evening, because my intention is to ask for the rules of procedures to be waived in order to make some changes to that. But if we were to go ahead and change that to having amplified music available indoors in facilities, would that be okay to do? And also then to further that, to make it so that the noise bylaw actually intercedes when there's problems.
Mr. Lustig.
Thank you, Your Worship. So the bylaw that I reviewed and we exchanged emails about is the bylaw with respect to parks and beaches. And in that bylaw, there's a section 3 that sets out a number of prohibitions where the bylaw prohibits certain things. And one of the things that it prohibits, I think it's in subsection I, is the use or operation of an amplifying system and a loudspeaker. And the bylaw also has a section that says that it overrides essentially all other bylaws, because it says that the stricter interpretation of that bylaw as opposed to any other bylaw applies. So that prohibition, fortunately or unfortunately, impacts all of the other bylaws that may be at variance with that. For example, I have come to understand, as I think you may have, that Mr. Stouffer issues permits in which he sets certain times after which you can't have amplifying music. And that would appear to be in conflict, I'm sure not intentionally, but in conflict with the prohibition in this parks bylaw. So what I've suggested to clean that up is that this section 3I be amended as an amendment to the bylaw to use words like either accept as permitted, for example, or after the hours of 11 or 11:30, or words to that effect. So I think that's what I was focusing on, frankly, not on the noise bylaw. As far as inside and outside, and I'm referring to parks, I think I also highlighted in a subsequent email from the first one that I did to you that the definition of park in that bylaw includes lands outside the various buildings in parks. And the buildings in parks that are identified are things like community centers, which was the clubhouse that I think was the one that I was involved or looking at, and things like arenas. And so I'm not sure that I've answered your question, except to say that I was focused on, and I thought that you might be interested in making an amendment to Section 3I to exempt from the operation of that section situations, whether they're inside or outside and covered anywhere in any other bylaw, periods after 11:30 or where permits are issued. So that's what I was focused on, and I'm not sure if I've answered your question or not.
Thank you. No, you have. But I'm thinking as you were speaking, it might not be a wise idea then to waive the rules of procedures tonight and actually sit down with you and work on the intent and the word and the language so that we can bring it back. Maybe I'll just give a notice of motion and then bring it back.
I would think a notice of motion. I know that you've expressed some concern about the timeliness of this, and this doesn't seem to be extremely complicated, except when you listen to what one change may do to another change. But I would wonder, Mr. Lustig, would you be in a position to provide information next week if a notice of motion was given this evening for staff to provide advice to council on September the 5th with respect to modifications that could achieve Councillor Butler's objective, which is to permit amplified music within structures in our municipal parks, but not to derogate from things like the noise bylaw.
Yes, I can do that.
And that would address, I think, your concerns, Councillor Butler.
Yes,
so
that
then
would
you
be
could
great.
You could give a notice of motion when we get there next.
Great.
Did you have any other questions?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just to go back to the delegate earlier with the transit, Ms. Miller, I had a telephone conversation with her, and I told her that I would ask staff a couple of questions regarding the decision to use Lakewood as part of the transit route. And I guess my first question would go to Mr. Walsh. Mr. Walsh, what was the criteria used in the decision to use Lakewood as part of the how do we come about what streets we're going to use?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Lakewood was selected for two reasons primarily. It's ideally you want to have transit users within a certain walking distance of the routes. Lakewood was a better fit to capture the west end of Crystal Beach than Schooley. Schooley's slightly out of range for the west end of Lakewood. And the other was traffic concerns in and around Schooley Road where it meets Erie Road. Through the use of Lakewood, the traffic at that end of Erie or that section of Erie is significantly less than at Schooley Road, which is right at the beach entrance through the summer. That will allow easier left turns. And in addition, when the bus has made that left turn and approaches Schooley, patrons can embark and disembark from the bus immediately onto the sidewalk rather than on Schooley and having to cross Erie, or once they make the left-hand turn, up the street from the beach entrance. It was just a more convenient feature for the bus to use the Lakewood with respect to Bay Beach.
Okay, thank you very much. And I guess my second question would go to Mr. Cook. And Ms. Miller talked about, she talked to the region and asked if she could get a regional police and asked if she could get an accident report on that corner, Lakewood and Erie. I'm wondering, is it possible for us to get one? And could we get one sooner than 4 weeks, or just for our own information and to help them out?
Mr. Cook, I believe it's a police activity report.
That's correct. And Mr. Wells can correct me on this, but at one time we were provided with all copies of accident reports from the region. It's my understanding we no longer get those. We once did. We can make the request to the police and hopefully expedite it and get those results a little quicker. I would leave that with Mr. Wells to see if he's had any luck with getting those in a quicker fashion.
Mr. Walsh has continuing communication with the police over the traffic coordination, I presume.
That's right. Mr. Mayor, through our TCC, we frequently get accident reports, but it does take a week or so. As Mr. Cookett points out, all accidents are now stored with the region and not through us. There is a database, but we'll make the inquiry anyways. I'm not aware of any issues on Lakewood myself.
Councilor Luberts.
Okay, thank you very much. And I had a conversation with another lady that lives on Lakewood, and she did mention the road itself. And so the question I said that I would bring up was, is Lakewood the base of Lakewood and the surface of Lakewood? Is there a problem with running the bus route on that road? And if so, how would we mitigate that in the future?
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We don't believe there is an issue with Lakewood. It's the same construction as Schooley Road. The widths are the same. The base structure is the same. I would like to add that once the route is changed to Lakewood, they'll receive a higher level of service in winter. With respect to winter control, they'll be a primary route and not a Class 5 road anymore.
Sir Luberts?
Okay, thank you very much. I think that's it for the transit. I just wanted to make a comment on the meeting that we had with respect to Waverly Beach. And I was the counselor that was spearheading that, along with my neighbor, Nadine Litwin. And I contacted several groups in Fort Erie. My neighbor and I had spoken a lot about Waverly Beach, and over the past few years we've visited down there just to see the conditions down there. And I did contact our CAO, and I let him know that we were having this meeting. I had a conversation with Councilor Zanko to let her know that we were going to organize this meeting to discuss the algae problem down at Waverly Beach. So I contacted not only them, but I contacted the Bert Miller Nature Club. I contacted Friends of Fort Erie's Creek. And I also contacted, I believe it's the Rotary Club, who has adopted the park there. And I wanted everybody and staff, and I think the CAO, he recommended that certain staff members be at that meeting. And I wanted everybody to be at that meeting and to discuss what we have down at Waverly Beach and to start having a look at some of the things that we can do to hopefully alleviate the problem of algae. And if there is nothing we can do, to notify the residents as to what we have done. So bringing forward an ad hoc committee, I would completely support that. But at the same time, I think I'm going to continue with this committee and still have some meetings with this committee, and then we can add any information or findings to the ADAC committee as well.
Any other questions by members of council?
Thank you, Your Worship. Not a question, but more some comments and feedback for Mr. Brady and Mr. Cookett. Just I had attended a meeting with a resident who was working on redeveloping property on Stevensville Road, and I just wanted to say to Mr. Brady and Mr. Cookett both that Kira Dolch and Keegan Jennings did a superlative job in their explanations in layman's terms on breaking down the bylaws as they stand today and explaining it into layman terms so that the person doing the development had a clear, solid understanding of what their responsibilities are as well as what the town was asking. And I just wanted to say that it was a rather long meeting, but the staff did not rush any part of it. They took their time. They made sure that there was full grasp and full understanding of it. And the meeting actually at the end there was some very, very positive feedback from the person. And they said that next time they're going to come in for a pre-consult because it was so informative.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And you'll pass that on, Mr. Cookett? Thank you. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I just noticed a note that I had made regarding the transit. And one of the questions that I had to ask is, Ms. Miller brought up the fact that she was concerned about the parking down at the end of Lakewood and being at the S-Bend. And so I told her that I would ask if when we were discussing things with the consultant, was part of the scope of the consultant's work to check and look at problems with turning onto certain roads because of different parking problems? I guess my question would go to Mr. Walsh.
It would go to Mr. Walsh.
For you, Mr. Mayor. Not specifically looking at your issue, but he did look at traffic issues in general and intersection layouts, et cetera.
And Erie Road and Lakewood, he had no issues with as far as
that's
being able to turn onto the road and any safety issues?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors? So, Mr. Walsh, just to continue on that vein, are there any sidewalks on Schooley Road?
I don't believe there are, Mr. Mayor.
And again, similar type shoulder, similar type width, as far as you're aware?
Correct.
And in terms of the route itself, is it subject to review?
All three of our routes are subject to review. There are significant changes coming. We've got, as council is aware, and hopefully the public, we have new electronic fare boxes that can track where patrons embark onto our bus and where they get off. Over the coming years, we will be analyzing that data continuously to better refine our routes and refine them to suit where people are going and where people are not going.
If as this route or any of these routes unfold, there appear to be safety issues that weren't anticipated, will staff recommend some changes sooner rather than later?
If it's with respect to safety, certainly.
Yes. Councillor Nutt has just pulled up. There does appear to be a sidewalk on the west side of Schooley. And if there's going to be a bus, well, here's there is going to be a bus on Lakewood, would that be a driver for sidewalks?
The town has a walking web, which is the current driver of sidewalks. And I hate to say this, but I've asked for the document, and because of its age, nobody seems to be able to find it anymore. So I've requested through Mr. Brady and Chris Miller and Feet that an active transportation master plan be developed that would develop a new walking web and place priority on new sidewalk construction. And I'm hoping they bring it forward this budget year.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. Any other councillors? If not, then we will go to, there are no motions, so we'll go to notices of motion. Councillor Passero, I'll look to you first.
Thank you, Worship. So I'd just like to provide notice of motion based on my comments earlier. Councillor Nutz, Councillor Zanko, and myself have been working in one capacity or another on waiver relief for some time, and we appreciate anybody who wants to get involved and contribute to the conversation, but we have to make sure that everyone is rowing in the same direction, especially if we're going to be having conversations with other levels of government. So I appreciate the work that staff had put into the first meeting and being there, but I'm hoping that we can do this as an ad hoc committee that would report to council, so there would be some bites to the bark, as it were, and going forward. So I will put some wording together that I can circulate to staff and have an offline conversation with Mr. Brady as well. But in our conversations at AMO, we definitely think that there's some room for some advancement on this issue, but we have to get our ducks in a row first municipally, and I think this is the first step to do that. So I'll bring that forward for council's consideration. I believe you said September 12th, Your Worship.
I guess it should be the 11th. So would you bring it forward the 11th or the 25th, which is the, you might want to have some more dialogue.
I'll see how much time Mr. Brady needs to go back and forth, and we'll make that determination.
We'll make it the 11th for now, and if you feel you need additional time, it can be put over to the 25th when we get there.
That sounds good.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have the intent of bringing a motion forward with respect to bylaw number 119-03, specifically regarding amplified music.
Thank you. And that will be, want staff to provide background information for the amendments for next Tuesday, September the 5th?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Is there a problem with that, Madam Clerk, as I'm thinking here? I mean, usually it goes from regular council meeting to regular council meeting.
Regular council meeting, yes.
However, I was thinking that if we make it returnable next Tuesday, September the 5th, then that would put us in a position to make a bylaw change on the 11th.
That's correct. We could have a special council meeting.
11th is a regular council meeting.
I mean next Tuesday.
I'm going to accept the notice of motion. I'm going to accept that it will be returnable the 5th. And if we have to waive the rules of procedure, we'll let the new clerk deal with that. How would that be? We don't want to make it too easy when she starts. Okay. So, Mr. Lustig, you've got that, and you've had dialogue already with Councillor Butler. You can have additional if necessary. Okay. Any other notices of motion? All right. So we're going to move to consideration of bylaws, and Councillor Passero, bylaw number 94, I would ask you to deal with separately. And are there any other bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? If not, then could you proceed with first and second reading, please?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that the bylaw package containing 88-2017 to authorize the entry into an extension and amending agreement with Tokmajin Inc. for the provision of conventional public transit services, 89-2017, to authorize the entry into a specialized transit service amending agreement with the Canadian Red Cross Society for the provision of specialized transit service, FAST, 90-2017, to adopt the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie Health and Safety Policy and to repeal bylaw number 62-2016, 91-2017, to authorize the entry into a spatial separation agreement for 1099 and 1119 Point Abano Road South, Front House Point Abano LLC, and Main House Point Abano LLC, Robert Rich Jr. Number 92-2017, to appoint Donna Delvecchio as clerk for the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw number 67-2017. Number 93-2017, to exempt a certain lot in Plan 59M-419 from part lot control, Spears Road Estate Subdivision Lot 31, 1021 and 1025, Meadowood Street, Ashton Homes, Western Limited. Number 95-2017, to amend zoning bylaw number 129-90 as amended, removal of holding provision, Schooling Road Condominium, Crystal Beach Estates Incorporated, Jose Marquez. Number 96-2017, to authorize the sale of part of lot 417, plan 370, being part 5, 59R-10735, on the west side of Ridgeway Road to Ken Mathewson. number 97-2017, to amend the Town of Fort Erie Investment Policy Bylaw number 109-2015, Portfolio and Institutional Limits for Credit Unions, number 98-2017, to amend Purchasing Bylaw number 2-10, as amended, Contractor Safety Program, number 99-2017, to authorize the write-off of municipal taxes in the Town of Fort Erie, roll numbers 020-020-08250 and 020-020-08275, number 100-2017, to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not to be a registered plan of subdivision, Questcor Holding Incorporated, Hendrick Vanderveld, and 1399907 Ontario Inc., David Chettle, 279 Ridge Road South, number 101-2017, to stop up, close, and convey part of the Gilmore Road unopened road allowance between Ridge Road North and Teal Road, 256-6035 Ontario Inc., Garth McGarrick, number 102-2017, to declare and assume part of the Gilmore Road unopened road allowance on the east side of Ridge Road North as public highway known as Ridge Road North, sale to 256-6035 Ontario Inc., Garth McGarrick, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of these bylaws that are contained in the package? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. With respect to bylaw number 89-2017, with respect to the fast transit system, my question is to Mr. Walsh, actually. I have, we're paying them good money. I've been receiving some complaints, and I actually called myself with respect to their services, and they have been disrespectful. And also, I'm looking for the right word, but indifferent to the needs of the community that have required their services. I'm just wondering, I was just wondering if you could have a conversation with them to let them know that the community and the municipality of the Town of Fort Erie give contracts in good faith and expect good customer service in return for that financial gain.
Mr. Walsh.
I certainly will. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
And if you need any specifics, Mr. Walsh, I'm confident Councillor Butler could pass those on to you as well. Any other questions or comments? Madam Clerk, with respect to bylaw 88-2017, we had talked about staff and, Mr. Cookett, Mr. Walsh, Mr. Lustig, you. We've talked about this one issue with respect to the stop currently at Walmart, proposed to be eliminated in favor of a stop at Sims and Thompson. You had provided me with some advice as to how we might proceed to provide direction to staff. And it's not technically an amendment to the bylaw. And as I'm thinking about this, is it appropriate to move a resolution to direct staff at this point?
Worship, I believe it is.
Okay.
There is a bylaw that was passed in 2011 that delegated authority to the Administrative Supervisor of Infrastructure Services, which would be Ms. Stout, to negotiate and alter service scheduling for the various transit services. So on that basis, as long as she's not changing any contract costs, you could, at this time, just direct staff as to what you would like to see them.
Okay. I wonder if I could hand the chair at this point to Councillor McDermott, so that I can speak to what I would like to do in terms of directing staff regarding the proposed route change at Walmart.
Your Worship.
Thank you. So, as we know, there are three bus routes in the town, all of which are going to now be meeting at the hub, which will be located here at the Municipal Center. So the timing of those routes is important in terms of coordinating the buses meeting so that there can be connections made. I understand that. Up until now, the hub had been at Walmart, and up until now, there had been a stop in front of Walmart. The first week in August, I was notified by staff that the bus company and the staff person responsible for transit had determined that in order to make a one-hour loop for the what we call the north route, they'd have to cut out a stop at Walmart and have a stop at the corner of Thompson and Sims. That I didn't think made sense at the time, and it still doesn't make sense to me. I've had communication from a number of individuals, especially those who use. I'm advised that there are many people that use the transit specifically to go to Walmart or No Frills, and many of the passengers who use public transit are individuals who don't have a vehicle, perhaps because of financial reasons, perhaps because of health reasons, perhaps because of age. And I'm also advised that sometimes young mothers with children also use the bus route. So we do have areas where people do have to walk to get to the bus. Sometimes they have to walk from the bus to wherever they're going. But Walmart and No Frills are places where they typically will be carrying bags on their way out. And I just don't think it's user-friendly for us to be eliminating that particular stop from the transit. I believe that the 2 or 3 minutes that it might entail in having to stop in front of Walmart could be picked up someplace on the route. Initially, I was anticipating that the bus actually came out of Walmart and turned right. In fact, it will be turning left, so it comes down. The proposal is it would come down Thompson and turn left at Garrison Road to go back towards the river, which means that it can't really take the right ramp out onto Garrison Road to go west because it's going to be going east. So I would like to move that we direct staff administratively to amend their proposed new route to include the stop at Walmart and then make what other necessary adjustments might be required to accommodate their timing for that north route. And I would need a seconder for that. Councillor Butler is on the committee, so thank you very much. Oops, but you're the chair. So I'll leave that to you, Councillor McDermott.
So do you have anything further on that, Your Worship?
No, I think that explains my position, okay. And I do believe that it's an appropriate move.
Any comments or further questions, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Chair McDermott. Just to echo the mayor's comments, I think that for years the bus has been stopping there. We've conditioned our population that for accessibility reasons, shelter, washrooms, amenity, availability, it's all right there. And I think that, moving that after we've conditioned them that, you know, this is where the bus is going to come, this is the regional connection. And I know that we're making changes, and I know that I've said before this is a living, breathing document, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot more changes to come. But I think that's one of the most essential stops within Fort Erie for people that do not own a vehicle. And I just think that to do the right thing by the population here, we need to work out some different areas where we can shave minutes off if that's what our end goal is, to get to a certain circle in a certain amount of time. This stop, I think, is key and needs to remain in place. So, thank you.
Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Chair McDermott. And I think we definitely need to work this into the communications strategy, because although this will be remaining as a stop, it's not going to be the same type of stop as it was, where buses were there for an extended period of time waiting for a regional bus. So this will be a stop on the route, just like every other stop. So we definitely need to communicate that so that people change their habits and their timelines accordingly, because it won't be waiting. It'll be moving on to the next stop, because we do have a timeline to keep. So hopefully we can keep that top of mind. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, if any? Carry.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott, and thank you, Madam Clerk. Are there any other questions or comments with respect to any of the bylaws in the package? If not, then can I go to Councillor Zanko for third and final reading of the amendment? package.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw containing 88-2017 as amended, 89-2017, 90-2017, 91-2017, 92-2017, 93-2017, 95-2017, 96-2017, 97-2017, 98-2017, 99-2017, 100-2017, 101-2017, 102-2017 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments with respect to the bylaws in the package? If not, all those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And Councillor McDermott, I wonder if I could hand the chair to you with respect to bylaw number 94. Councillor Becerro has first and second reading, and Councillor Zanko has third and final reading of the act of that bylaw.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Becerro.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 94-2017 to authorize the entry into a development agreement with Centurion Building Corporation, Nicholas Culinary, 2974 Bethune Avenue, is given first and second reading.
Any comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? Benny, carried. Councillor.
Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw containing 24-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal. Did I say 24? 94-2017.
Thank you, Councillor Zanka. All in favor? Carried. Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott, and I understand you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, the bylaw number 103-2017 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on August 28, 2017 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. And the third and final reading for the confirmatory bylaw, Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 103-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? And opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Or not? Blood donor clinic on...
Oh, yes. Sorry. Wednesday. Yes,
Crystal Ridge
donor.
Center?
Yes.
2:30 to 7:30.
I'll be there with my arm out.
Perfect. Good. Good turnout. Councillor Becerro.
We have a community and development, or planning and development services, I think we call it now, PDS, still getting used to that, meeting Wednesday, I believe that's 4:30, up in committee room number 3, and I'll also be there with veins exposed.
Any other meetings? There being none, I'm going to guess that the last resolution is Councillor Nutt's.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko. The council adjourns at 7:29 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of council on September 11, 2017.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you, folks.